welcome to Undivided. I'm Brandi Cruz. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Happy Monday to all of you. A beautiful Monday in the Seattle area, if you're around here. A lot to get to today. We're going to continue to talk about absolute ridiculous debates around the transgender issue, because the mainstream media doesn't touch this topic, because I think they don't want to offend anyone. But there are so many stories popping up where it's beyond the culture wars. It's about what makes sense and what doesn't make sense in a reasonable, rational society. There's a story a ton of you emailed me about a local spa that's supposed to be women only, where you can go in, you can be naked, and now they're being forced by a judge to let biological men in there. It's just absurd stuff where, you know, I'm not anti-transgender. If you're an adult, do what you want, as long as it doesn't hurt other people. And so this is just a case, again, I wish it got more attention in the mainstream media, because I think we need to mainstream these conversations. Later on, we will talk about the Donald Trump indictment, what it's done to his polling numbers. I'm sure you can guess. Andrew Lewis, the Seattle City Councilman for downtown, who betrayed his constituents by voting against a proposal that would have made it a crime in Seattle to use drugs or possess drugs in public, he's all of a sudden acting like the hero, saying that he's going to come forth and put together a plan to deal with the issue. Also, an anti-cop ice cream shop in Seattle is suing over the Capitol Hill occupied protests 3 years after it's over, which would be fine, I guess, except there's one little wrinkle in this story that makes the lawsuit even more absurd. If you've not become a subscriber already to the show, please do so. It's how we continue to do this show full time. You can sign up at undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com for $5 a month, just $5. Also, I wanted to make sure, we've been talking about teasing on the show the fact that I'm going to be doing some meet and greets across Western Washington, specifically for the purpose of giving you an opportunity, if you choose, to sign Referendum 101, which is the referendum that would send Senate Bill 5599 to voters. That's the bill we talked a lot about over the past few months that says your child of any age can run away to a shelter if they want gender care or an abortion, and then the shelter under law won't tell you where they are, which is just insane to me. So we have our first location and our first date scheduled. I am going to be in Arlington, Washington, at Elemental Cider Company on Sunday, June 18th from 2 to 4 p.m. Stop by, stay a while, just drop by and sign the referendum. You don't have to sign it, by the way. If you don't want to sign it, but you still want to come say hello, that's okay too. No one's forcing you to sign the referendum. You might note that this is Father's Day. Nicole has some very strong feelings about me doing this on Father's Day. I think it's, what better thing to do with your Father's Day than to reclaim your rights as a parent?
I agree. No, my goal was just to get as many people there as possible, and those are kind of barbecue hours, so I was a little nervous that maybe fathers would be busy on Father's Day.
2 to 4 is barbecue hours?
That's pretty solid.
You,
barbecuing
you stop by,
hours. Yes.
And you go, some of us don't have dads, okay, Nicole?
Yeah, I knew you were going to throw that at me.
Some of us, you know, we need to be with other people on Father's Day. That, it's a really hard holiday
this
for
is,
us.
I think that you can do like a Father's Day outing in the middle of the day and go stop by and then barbecue when you get back. So we'll just have people kind of rearrange, maybe.
It's kid-friendly. It's kid-friendly. Yes. You can bring your kids. You can't buy your kids booze, but you can bring your children.
Right.
And look, just stop by real quick, sign your name, and then on your way. Yep. And say hello. We'll take a picture.
Luckily, my parents live down the street, so it's actually, I'll make it work because they just live right there.
Well, your dad can come on by. I love your dad.
I know, I'm
He's
working
on sweetest.
That. Yes.
Come on by. So anyway, can we put that up again, Nicole?
Yes.
So this is going to be the first meet and greet. We'll have announcements on the other locations coming up soon, but this is really important. We need 200,000 signatures on Referendum 101 by July 15th, and really before that, because they want to get them in, make sure they have enough. So we need as many of you to stop by as humanly possible. You can only sign it if you're a registered voter in Washington State. But again, Sunday, Elemental Cider in Arlington, and I have that posted on my Patreon, Locals, Facebook, etc. So I'm looking forward to that. Okay, and as I mentioned, we're not going to skip by the Trump news. Obviously, that's significant news that he's been indicted related to the documents that he kept at Mar-a-Lago. We'll get to that later on. We've got some new polling numbers around all of that. And O.J. Simpson had some advice for the former president. And I was telling Nicole before we started, if there's one person whose legal advice I'd probably accept, it's probably O.J. Simpson.
because...
Well, can I say because he...
Yes.
It's my opinion that he got away with murder.
Exactly.
He can't sue me over that, right? Because that's a pretty mainstream opinion.
Yes.
Okay, great. So we'll discuss that coming up. But first, I want to dive into a couple transgender debate issues that, you know, the more and more that we dive into that kind of realm of that conversation, the more I realize that we have to kind of try to mainstream it. Because I get that some things are culture wars. I get it. And those might seem like very surface level debates and disagreements that are divisive. But I've said for a long time that I don't really think the divide that we have in this country is between reasonable and is between left and right, Democrat and Republican. It's between the reasonable and unreasonable. And we have to try to, as reasonable people, take back the conversation. And, you know, I think we can have conversations about transgender issues without being hateful towards transgender people. Again, if you're a libertarian in me, is like, if you're an adult, do what you want, as long as you're not harming anybody else or hurting anyone else. And so I think we have to normalize these conversations in a way where we're not being hateful or hurtful, but where we're using common sense. So on Sundays with Subscribers this week, we had a great interview. I heard from so many of you, and I've heard from some politicians, by the way, who want to get in touch with the woman who we featured. So we did, you know, a whole episode on Sunday about some of the issues related to transgender inmates in our prison system. So one of the new wrinkles here is that DOC guards are now going to be required to search inmates based on the gender they identify as. We got sent the email from a tipster basically saying the DOC has informed us they're changing the policy governing how staff conduct searches. So basically, if you're a female prison guard, you'd have to search a biological male who identifies as a woman, which is crazy to me. Like that would be a requirement of your job. And so I know they're filing a demand to bargain, but it's like, really? It's so weird that you would force that upon a female prison guard, as opposed to just saying, hey, you know, let's get a male guard to do this search. But then you'd have the transgender inmate who says, well, I don't want a male guard searching me. So it's just wild. But anyway, we also did, you guys may have recalled, there was a James O'Keefe expose on the Washington Correction Center for Women, because they were kind of making national headlines for a while, again, not in mainstream media, but in more conservative-leaning media, for biological men, inmates, who are being transferred there, who said, hey, I'm a woman now, and then they get put in a women's prison. And James O'Keefe did this expose where he was given these video tapings of inmates currently incarcerated, female inmates incarcerated at the Washington Correction Center for Women, who were talking about being forced to be in a cell with biological men. Here's a clip from the James O'Keefe story.
Anything against them, I just don't want to sleep in there with them. We don't have a voice, we don't have a leg to stand on. Anytime we voice these types of things, we are met with ridicule, targeting, bias, punishment, solitary confinement.
Yeah, just horrifying. So on Sundays with Subscribers this week, we actually sat down with the woman who gave those videos to James O'Keefe. She started off, she got involved in this because she's a religious woman. She's very caring, just a sweet woman. And she was mentoring inmates at the Pierce County Jail, became really close with one of them, ended up, you know, doing visits with her at the Women's Corrections Center, and ended up videotaping these video visits and hearing from this female inmate about her fear over being locked in a cell with a biological man. Here's part of that interview.
She said she did an emergency grievance within 24 hours, probably within 20 minutes, when she was allowed out of her room. You have to remember, they're locked in these rooms. So they are locked in with unsafe people. I think in the video that I sent you, she said, you know, she looked totally tattered. Like, I was like, are you okay? I didn't know if she was sick or, you know, what was wrong with her. And she said, no, I can't sleep and I have to wait for him to go to sleep. Then he has night terrors all night long because of when you're a male, but you're on estrogen, that's like two, you know, entities fighting each other. And so she said he's up all night long with night terrors, grabbing up the side of her bed, touching her head where she's trying to sleep. And she's frightened. But if she says she's frightened or that she's scared, she will go to isolation.
And that's just horrifying. Again, you can catch that whole interview with Linda on our Sundays with Subscribers episode from yesterday, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. Always enjoy those conversations. But you just, you know, here we live in this state where every measure, it seems, is taken to make sure that prison inmates, you know, regardless of what they were there for, are taken care of, you know, get every opportunity they can behind bars. There's a lot of deference given to them. Yet here we are, for the sake of what? For the sake of political correctness? I don't know what it is. Just imagine this. Imagine being a woman. And yeah, they're incarcerated for a reason. But that doesn't mean that they deserve to feel scared every waking and sleeping hour of their lives behind bars. And now they're locked in a cell with a biological man who's also in prison for a reason, right? And so they have every right in the world to be scared, and they're terrified about even speaking out about it because they don't want to be put in the hole in isolation, because that's not good for them. That's like a punishment for them. So this is just one of those crazy stories. And one of the other real frustrations that I have about this is we can get no information from the Department of Corrections about any of this. They lock down files related to transgender inmates, related to even if an inmate is transgender. We're not allowed to file public disclosure requests for that type of information. And so all we have to go off of is what whistleblowers tell us. We couldn't confirm that information even if we wanted to. It is solely based on what whistleblowers are willing to tell us, what the inmates are willing to say, and you got to protect the inmates' identities because, you know, if they're speaking out, God knows what could happen to them behind bars. So you have this really frustrated, nonsensical situation, and we, taxpayers, the media, we can't get any information about it. And I know, Nicole, when you were at Cairo, you had a heck of a time, you and Dory, trying to get information on
we got sent a cease and desist, and then they created some write-up. They filed something that made it so we couldn't ever get any more info on how many were in Purdy, right, and who it was that was identifying.
The state literally sent a news outlet a cease and desist.
We were lumped in with, there's maybe four of us, I think the Tribune and maybe Cairo 7. I can't remember all the reporters, but we were named by, Dory was named, a reporter was named, the writer was named, and it got very difficult. And some, I think the Tribune fought back maybe, but our company didn't want to deal with the fight.
It's wild because it's not like these news outlets are saying, hey, we want to out transgender people behind bars and put them at risk. There are legitimate concerns. Safety. If you have a transgender inmate who is in the women's prison and let's say they assault someone or rape someone.
Well, that was the story we were working on, was that an inmate who was identifying as a female was housed with a mentally that's the word I'm looking for.
Oh, yeah, developmentally
disabled person, and assaulted her. And that was the info that we were trying to get on those two inmates because we were given some really solid information about it, and we were shut down.
And they're protecting the predator who all of a sudden decided after they were incarcerated, I'm a woman, and then they get put in a jail cell with someone who's developmentally delayed and allegedly assaults them.
Right.
That's crazy. And the state protects them to the point where they'd send a cease and desist to the media. Mm-hmm. This is wild. And again, it goes back to that reasonable versus unreasonable. It's not about hating transgender individuals, but we have to have a conversation about what needs to happen here.
It reminds me of, we had Senator Wynn on, right?
Yeah.
And he actually signed one of the bills that ended up
protecting healthcare information.
Right, protecting that healthcare information, which all came from this conversation, I believe.
Right.
But he hadn't heard that information. So there's definitely some hiding going on. So he had not been told why they were, I guess the specific cases that initiated the conversation about this protecting health.
Right. Well, what I had asked him is, hey, do you think that if you're a female inmate, you should be able to ask if you're not comfortable to be placed somewhere else? And he said, yes. But the question is, do they feel comfortable raising it? And what if they're told no, and then they go back into the cell with the person they just said, I don't want to be bunked with this person. So somebody was saying on Facebook, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but what's to be done? The only option is, if we're going to entertain all of this, is to have a different wing.
Right.
Is to have a separate wing of the prison.
But there's definitely it seems like there's some level that's hiding. So that some level is making this happen. Some level is hiding this. Like some level is putting blocks in so that, you know, this level can't find out. So there's definitely some corruption. 100%. And I think we've known that there's corruption in the jail systems for a long time. And I hope this brings it out. I hope that, you know, people like James O'Keefe, people like us, people like, you know, some of the entities that are fighting back against some of these lawsuits or cease and desist or whatever. But yeah, we've got to fight back. I mean, I feel like it just gets taken and we just, well, okay, we can't get that information. Right, and you walk away.
And you have to mainstream the conversation. Right. It can't just be conservative outlets or perceived conservative outlets right. who are pushing back against it, because then it gets painted as anti-transgender and mm-hmm. hateful, when you're like, what about those women?
Exactly.
Well, and I get it. They're prison inmates. And I know that that might not, you know, endear them to, right. to people or make people want to fight for them. But I think when you look at what's happening in women's sports, for instance, what's happening to women behind bars, I mean, women in every stage and facet of life.
Right. Those are the most vulnerable, right?
So, right.
You know, these women are, in theory, I mean, some are in there for life, I'm sure. But for the most part, they're going to be, they're there to be rehabilitated, moved back out. And it's not helping the situation.
Right. It's so sad. And so go listen to that interview with Linda, who's just an awesome person. And she's like, I'm going to fight for these women. And she's one of the only people fighting for them. And she just tells these stories about their real fear and frustration behind bars of wondering. And then, by the way, Linda, for speaking out, for recording those video visits and giving them to James O'Keefe, she is banned. She can't visit that woman behind bars anymore. She can't do video visits. So she's left wondering what even happened to her. Is she okay? And she's trying to like get information on her. But that was the consequence from DOC for recording those video visits and giving them to James O'Keefe. This is bonkers. We have to mainstream this conversation. And I don't know if that takes continuously reaching out to news outlets, asking the news outlets that you consume, be it TV, print, why aren't you covering this more? Why don't you care about these women? It's insane to me. It's so insane to me. So if you guys, if there's any whistleblowers out there who want to send us information, there's a contact sheet, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. I also have a Proton mail. It's tips.undivided@proton.me if you want something a little more encrypted. Okay, but on this whole conversation, another story that, again, is really only being platformed by perceived conservative outlets, which should be a mainstream conversation. So a popular spa, the Olympus Spa in Washington State, is being forced, and this is only women are allowed here, and it's like you can go in there and be nude. And that's kind of why. It's like the spa is like, this is a women's only spa. And so you go in with the expectation that, hey, I can go in and I can, you know, feel free to be in this spa area and not have my clothes on, and there's not going to be any dudes there, right?
And specifically, it's a Korean therapeutic. Like, there's more to it than just like, hey, come and sit right. in the hot tub naked. It's a traditional Korean spa.
Yeah,
something.
So there's also some like traditional aspects of the reason why they only want women in there if, you know, you can be nude, and they're also, it's a Christian ownership. And so they had, and they have said and maintained that the women-only rule is essential for the safety, legal protection, and well-being of our customers. Well, there was this, and I'll show you the article. I think it was the New York Post that ended up breaking this story. The headline, women-only spa forced to allow trans customers with penises even though everyone is naked. So what happened, and this is just so bizarre. So there was this transgender woman who, there's no evidence, had ever even patronized this spa. And so it leaves me to believe that they're just like, I want to try to test the rules and like ruin things for this spa. So this, and I'll show you, for you, those of you watching on the live stream, a picture of this transgender woman who ends up complaining that they can't be in the spa because the spa only allowed transgender women who'd undergone the surgeries, like to, you know, rid themselves of their biological male parts. So the activist is Haven Wilvich, who had filed a complaint. There ended up being a discrimination ruling in Haven's favor. The spa took that to the judge who was pictured there, a Seattle District Court Judge Barbara Jacobs Rothstein, who upheld the ruling, the discrimination ruling against this spa in favor of Haven Wilvich. And now what is the spa supposed to do? You know, I got a lot of emails from people about this story over the weekend. And one of them was from a guy who said that he bought or was going to buy his wife a gift card to that spa. And now he's like, I don't think I want my wife to go, but kind of feels bad because he's like, it's not the business's fault, but I don't know that I want my wife in an environment where I'm not sure who's going to be in there with her. Because Nicole and I were talking about this. Worst case scenario for someone to take advantage of this, right? If the spa can't do anything to stop, you know, a transgender individual or someone who says they identify as a woman from using their spa by a court ruling, by a ruling from a federal judge, what's to stop some perv from walking in there and being like, I identify as a woman? They can't. How would they be able to stop that person without running afoul of the court ruling? And so, yeah, I don't blame this undivided listener who's like, I don't think I want my wife to go there anymore. And I feel so bad for the owners of this spa who are like, what do I do? And by the way, this one of the reasons I mentioned that this Haven Wilvich, there's no evidence that they've ever gone to the spa, because when you go to these types of spas, you know, you're signing in and you show an ID, typically the ones that I've been to. So after this activist got the ruling in their favor, they posted, I did it. The main naked lady spa in the area, I got to change their policies and allow all self-identified women access regardless of surgery and genitals. So to me, that sounds like this person's just going around trying to force businesses to accept everyone regardless of the circumstances. They also bragged, by the way, this is crazy. Quote, I'm more woman than any TERF, and TERF stands for trans exclusionary radical feminist. So it's basically women who are sick of being like cast aside because of transgender women. I'm more woman than any TERF will ever be because I'm an intentional woman, whereas they are only incidental. So I'm only an incidental woman because I just happen to be born a woman. So that makes you, who identifies as a woman by choice, more of a woman than I'll ever be. That's insane. It's just crazy to me. So I don't know. And you know, we talk so much about free market, and we're going to have a conversation about, you know, letting the free market deal with things when it comes to the culture wars. But in this case, this spa isn't really at the, they don't really have the luxury of the free market, because you could have people who say, I don't agree with this and I'm going to support this spa. But like the guy who emailed me, he's like, I want to support the spa, but supporting the spa means sending my wife into a nude area with God knows who is there. So man, this is, again, and it's just, it's crazy. Come on. It's crazy. And I, again, maybe you have a special area for transgender women, and some people would say, well, then you're just othering them even further. But because they would feel inconvenienced, if you let them in, a bunch of other people might feel uncomfortable or inconvenienced. So who do you prioritize in that situation? I'm not saying there's easy answers to this, but forcing a Korean traditional spa to change this rule, which they say is important for the safety of their customers, and to change it in a way that might put them out of business, that's not right. That's not sensical. So anyway, again, it goes back to, we have to mainstream these conversations so we can put them out in the open, in the light of day, so it's not just conservative outlets who are having these conversations and these debates. Let's have all the reasonable people have these conversations and figure out a path forward, a way forward, because this ain't it. You know, putting biological men in a cell with a woman, that ain't it. We have to be able to have legitimate light of day conversations in order to figure out how do we move forward from here.
Hey, just really craziness. Quick, I also think it's important to say that he was married to a female, is divorced, and that, but I mean, that means you're attracted to, he says that he got divorced because she didn't accept him, whatever, right. But he's attracted to females.
Well, at least he was when he's married. I don't know if,
well, it doesn't,
he is anymore, but.
The report, well, he might, because he doesn't say, I decided I was, you know, attracted to somebody else, but yeah. Anyway, but I mean, I think that's relevant that he is now, he doesn't say that he's not attracted to females. He says he was married and she didn't accept him for who he was, whatever.
Right. But. So yeah, but I think it goes to, and anybody of any intention now can go do that. And one thing the spa owner said, Mayoon Woon Lee, who had sued to reverse this decision, saying that, he said that his traditional theological conservative Christian values, that he holds those personally, and also that it put the clients at risk. He's had this spa for 20 years. He, quote, conveyed his fear that exposing female customers, especially minors, to male genitalia could subject Olympus Spa to criminal penalties. said that there had been several incidents where customers, quote, noticed male genitals exposed in the spa, creating humiliation, trauma, and rage. Those patrons apparently demanded refunds and never returned. So again, we got to shed some daylight on this stuff, right? Get it out in the open. Let's have the difficult conversations. Not an easy solution. Let's have them. Let's hammer out what is reasonable, what's unreasonable. Because like I said, this ain't it. And Nicole and I go to this spa in Vegas sometimes when we're there.
Caesar's Spa.
Yeah, and it's great. And they have a male wing and a female wing.
Right.
And I think it's also, what is your expectation, right? So we go in there knowing it's the female wing. Mm-hmm. And we can go in there and be nude if we want. Or you can wear a bathing suit, whatever right. your pleasure is. But you go in there, there's all sorts of, you know, female bits out and stuff. But if I walked in there and saw a dude, I'd be like, what the heck?
Or a group of them, because you go right. in with friends, you see a group of dudes there, that would be jarring.
It would be jarring. And it's not what you, I wouldn't feel relaxed in the same way, right? So it's just wild. Anyway. I really wish the mainstream media wouldn't shy away from these conversations. Because this is happening. It's impacting people's lives and livelihoods. It shouldn't be a divisive conversation to have.
Right. And I do hope that people that judge, I hope she is held accountable for this, right?
Oh my God.
So we need to start paying attention to judges. The vote, I mean, often they run unopposed, but we need to start paying attention to these judges that are placed in these positions.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be put in these positions and just make decisions like this and not be held accountable when it comes to either putting them in that role again or if they are running unopposed. Like, we need to start soliciting some judges to run for these positions.
Yeah. Are district court judges elected, though, or are those appointed? I believe that those are appointed positions.
They could be, but then...
Then you have to get them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seattle District Court Judge Barbara Jacobs Rothstein. But also, if you want to Google that, I think mm-hmm. that's an appointed position. But also, this was the original decision was made in February 2020 by the Washington State Human Rights Commission. So it's like, that wasn't even on my radar. I'm like, there's a state human rights commission that's forcing businesses to allow like biological men in their spas. That's kind of wild too. And I'm curious how many other rulings they've had that have gone under the radar that we don't even know about. So anyway, time to daylight it.
They're elected 4-year terms.
Oh, they are elected to 4-year terms? Okay, I'm wrong. You're right. Well, then yes, Barbara Jacobs Rothstein. That's a name that we need to put on our radar for sure. Okay, coming up next, we're going to get into what's happening in the city of Seattle today as it pertains to substance abuse. But first, I've been talking about our friends over at First Mark Insurance, firstmarkinsurance.com. Mike and I did the First Mark Challenge like thousands of other families have. And all I've heard is wonderful First Mark stories, either people who saved a bunch of money, got much better insurance, or just came away finally understanding their insurance for the first time ever. Because I'll be honest, when I went and did the First Mark Challenge, I'm like, oh my God. I'm not going to understand any of this. And Dave Taylor, the CEO of First Mark, explained it to Mike and I in the simplest terms, didn't make us feel like morons. And we found out eventually, and actually gave Dave permission to talk about what he discovered about the insurance that Mike and I had and what we maybe needed instead. Would you say our primary issue is we were undercovered?
I would. Yeah.
And what's the risk for someone of being undercovered?
Yeah. So I think it's real common for us to see on a liability level that folks don't have enough coverage. Because in the state of Washington, there's the state minimum limits of coverage that the state says, hey, if you have these limits, you're legal. And I think that can be confused with legal equals adequately covered, and that's not the case. So the risk is if you get in an auto accident and you don't have enough coverage, you get in an auto accident that's your fault and you don't have enough coverage, then they can come after you personally for any additional amounts over and above your coverage limit. And that means things like your retirement plan or come after your equity in your home or garnish your wages. So it's a big thing. And like with you and Mike, I just think most people haven't had someone take the time to explain it to them in terms they can understand and show them the how inexpensive it is to actually get the correct coverage.
Yeah. And so what happened with Mike and I is we went through the First Mark Challenge and we ended up getting much more insurance for about the same price. And so for us, it was an absolute no-brainer. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Take the First Mark Challenge. There's a little button there that you can push to take it. And it takes a little bit of time. But again, if you walk away, you just keep the insurance you already had. Kind of a win-win. The following segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Last week on the show, we talked a lot about this vote that happened in the Seattle City Council with Andrew Lewis, the councilman for downtown, casting the deciding vote that meant that they would not pass an ordinance to make it a crime to use drugs in public or possess drugs in public. And this was truly, truly unbelievable because we went into that vote thinking, of course, the councilman for downtown would, given the depths of the drug crisis downtown, would say, yeah, we need this on the books. We need to enforce it as a city so that we can deal and have tools at our disposal to deal with this crisis that's impacting the city in such a profound way. And then at the last minute, I'll replay the clip. Andrew Lewis just flip-flopped as he usually does.
I came out here on the dais today fully prepared to vote for this measure because I do think it is generally proper that we reconcile our SMC to the state law. But with the ending of community court without any additional process, I just can't do it today. I just can't.
Just can't do it today. I just can't. And again, I think that's because a bunch of Shamus Hawan's constituents showed up, yelled loud, and he's like, okay, I changed my mind. Because what else could it be? The proposal that he was voting on that day was proposed in April by the Seattle City Attorney. April. They came out. They did a press conference about it. They sent out details of it. And all of a sudden, fast forward to June, and he at the last minute, when the vote comes down to the wire, he says, I can't do it. What did you learn about it that day in the matter of a couple hours that you couldn't have known about it going back to August or going back to April? Again, that's why it's evidence to me that he just caved to the loudest voices in the room. So immediately after that happened, there was rumors that Andrew Lewis was going to come back with his own proposal. And over the weekend, he sent out a tweet saying, I can confirm that I will be joining the mayor of Seattle and leaders in public health, law enforcement, and city government this coming Monday to develop a real plan to fight the fentanyl crisis. A real plan. And that, again, struck me. And this is going to happen at 1 p.m. today. There was also a press release sent out from the mayor's office where they said city leaders will convene to establish next steps to address drug intervention and enforcement. But again, I go back to, for Andrew Lewis, the councilman for downtown, who's running for re-election this year. You say now today you're going to come out with a real plan to address the fentanyl crisis. Last I checked, there has been a worsening fentanyl crisis on the streets of your district in Seattle since you were elected in 2019. So even if you didn't like the plan that Seattle's city attorney proposed that you voted down last week, what have you been doing the past 4 years? Why not, if you didn't think that we had a real plan, in your words, to address the fentanyl crisis, why have you been seemingly content for the past 4 years letting people die on the sidewalks in your district? Help me understand that. Now all of a sudden, to try to deal with the damage and the people who are fleeing, who don't want to give you money anymore, the business community who doesn't want anything to do with you, now you're saying, I'm going to come out and propose a real plan, not like the one that I voted down last week. If you had a real plan, Andrew Lewis, and you didn't bring it forward until the fourth year of your term, as you're in the middle of a re-election campaign, then shame on you. Because that would mean if you had a real plan this whole time, you've been fine letting people die this whole time while you kept this real plan in your back pocket. No, you don't have a real plan. You're coming forward with a plan to try to get yourself out of a messy situation that you created when you voted no last week, because you're trying to save your job. And I pray to God that it is too late for you to save your job because you simply do not deserve it. So we will be tracking what happens with that today. Again, that's happening at 1 p.m. The mayor coming out. I don't know if the mayor is trying to all of a sudden save Andrew Lewis's job or something by, you know, propping him up and saying, hey, we're going to come out and do this. But we'll see what they say, and we'll bring that to you tomorrow. Okay, that segment was brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. All right, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. man, this story over the weekend, Lord help me. So I remember, well, first of all, we all remember CHOP, Chaz CHOP, in Seattle, summer of 2020. And there have been some lawsuits over it that have happened in the 3 years since. There was a big lawsuit from the business community up there, and rightfully so, where they were like, oh my God, look at the position that you put us in by allowing this to happen, by abandoning the East Precinct. And then found out, you know, the city leaders, all their text messages were missing. You know, the chief of police, the mayor at the time, all the command staff, the fire chief, oops. And so they ended up having to settle because a judge basically instructed a jury to look at the case through the lens of those messages having been deleted intentionally. So I think it would have been really hard for the city of Seattle to win that lawsuit. So they have to pay out a bunch of money. And so, you know, after some other individuals see that, oh, Seattle's having to pay out money, you know, they smell money in the water, and now they're jumping on the bandwagon to sue the city of Seattle themselves. One of the people, one of the businesses that has all of a sudden decided to sue is Molly Moon's Ice Cream, which has a location right up there in the former Autonomous Zone area. So they filed this lawsuit against the city of Seattle, again, an iconic Seattle ice cream brand. And in the lawsuit, they write in part, the city's actions, assistance, endorsements, and encouragements of CHOP and CHOP participants greatly increased the likelihood of property damage, loss of business revenue, loss of use of property, and other damage to the plaintiff. This subjected plaintiff to harm that it would not have suffered absent the city's actions. And again, In most other situations, I would be just fine with that. Like, of course, you have this business that was just at the whim of this autonomous zone because the city, you know, acted like a bunch of cowards and allowed them to take over this area for a full month. But I feel much differently about Molly Moon's. And here's why. Back when CHOP happened, so it began early June 2020, ended the beginning of July 2020. And then I actually broke this story at the time. I was sent a couple pictures showing that Molly Moon's at that location had put up a sign in their doorfront. And the sign said, police officers, in red, underlined. Molly Moon's is a gun-free zone. Please do not come inside if you are wearing a firearm. And at the time, I thought, well, that's an interesting statement. And it really screamed politics to me. It sounds anti-cop. Because again, if you have a no-gun policy, which a lot of businesses do, and that's perfectly fine for businesses to have, then you don't target it at law enforcement. But when you put up a sign specifically, police officers, do not bring your gun inside, to me, you're making a political statement. And at the time, the owner of Molly Moon's did these interviews explaining, because after I posted the picture, the story ended up going viral. And the owner of Molly Moon's said, and quote, last week as CHOP was being dismantled and there was a flood of police officers here in the neighborhood, they were intimidating and causing some of my black and brown employees to feel unsafe. And she was asked at the time, is this some sort of political statement? And she said, I am anti the current police system. Yeah, I think we need major police reform. I'm gonna be a business person and an activist that continues to speak truth as I see it. So here you have a business owner who was 100% in support of the autonomous zone. Didn't speak out about it at the time, was very anti-police at the time, said she was going to continue to be an activist business owner, said police were intimidating to her black and brown employees. That's the business owner that we're talking about here, who now wants to turn around 3 years after CHOP, sees money in the water, Seattle has to settle these lawsuits that other business owners have brought up. And so, of course, the owner of Molly Moon's thinks, well, now there's an easy opportunity for cash. I supported everything wholeheartedly at the time, but if I can make a quick buck off the taxpayers of the city of Seattle, why would I not do it? Molly Moon's and people like the owner of Molly Moon's are just as much to blame for the environment around CHOP as city leaders were. And I had to know, I saw this article from the Seattle Times over the weekend about this. And I mean, immediately when the news came out of the lawsuit, so many people on Twitter were like, weren't they the anti-cop establishment? So I see this article from the Seattle Times. Molly Moon's ice cream shop sues Seattle 3 years after CHOP. You know what they don't mention anywhere in the article? What I just said. no mention of the anti-police sentiment, no mention of the political statements that the owner of Molly Moons made at the time, no mention of the fact that she was in full support of what the protesters were doing. And now Molly Moons wants to turn around and say, oh, the city created an unsafe environment. You are the one who said that the police presence in the area was intimidating to your employees. You're the one who put up a big sign on your doorfront that said police officers. You think any cops are going to be feel welcome in your establishment? And by the way, when cops are on duty in their uniform, they're going to have their gun with them. So what you're saying is you didn't want cops in your establishment, unless they were off duty and you couldn't even tell they were a law enforcement officer. And you know the sad part about all this is? We're probably going to end up having to settle this lawsuit with Molly Moons too. Because city leaders, quote unquote, lost all their text messages, making it nearly impossible for them to win any lawsuits related to CHOP. Molly Moons knows that despite their previous political statements, their anti-cop rhetoric, they know that they can cash in. That's absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. All right, we've been talking about my friend Wes Jones with sellwithwes.com. If you're in the market to sell your home, I cannot think of a better real estate agent who knows the market like Wes Jones does. Him and his team have an innovative marketing strategy where they can make sure that you get the most possible eyeballs on your listing. They'll post it locally, they'll post it internationally. The goal, of course, is to try to get you the highest possible price for your home with the fewest possible contingencies. And despite a market that really has been all over the place, Wes Jones says he does see a window of opportunity for home sellers.
There's some pent-up buyer demand because buyers really went on strike starting last August and nothing happened. I should say very little happened the rest of the year. And it feels like we're getting back to your traditional seasonal real estate periods where a lot of home sales happen in the spring. So pent-up buyer demand, not a whole lot of options for buyers to purchase home, means that it's a great time to sell a home if you have to do something.
Yeah, so check out our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. They also have a handy little home value calculator on there if you want to see what your home might be worth in the current market. Sellwithwes.com, that's sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. Okay, let's dip outside of Washington State for a moment, take a look at what's happening elsewhere in the country. Of course, Donald Trump was indicted. Again, this one relating to the documents at Mar-a-Lago. And I'm not sure it was necessarily a surprise, although there's a lot of questions, of course, about, okay, well, you know, other politicians or former politicians had documents that were found in places they shouldn't be, you know, Mike Pence, President Joe Biden, you know, in the garage next to his Corvette. Apparently, Mike Pence has been told that he's not facing any charges related to the documents that he had. You know, he willingly turned them over. And then TBD, I guess, on President Biden. But the consensus of the indictment or what they accuse him of and why it led to charges, as they say, that he had plenty of opportunities to hand them over, yet he didn't. The photos were fascinating. He had him like boxes stacked up high in a bathroom at Mar-a-Lago, like next to a toilet. But if you've seen the picture, it's the chandelier. The chandelier in the bathroom that was really like, why is that chandelier above the toilet so big? But anyway, if anyone thinks, I find it interesting with the Trump stuff, how every time there's some investigation against him or, you know, impeachment or accusation, there's this huge segment of the American, I think, talking heads and cable news who are like, oh, this is going to change things dramatically for Donald Trump. It never does. You know, I really don't know if there's anything that Trump could do at this point that would substantially change the support that people have for him. I just don't. And so I wasn't surprised. CBS did a poll where they, right after the indictment, so the poll was conducted June 9th to 10th, and it asked likely GOP primary voters of the Trump indictment, which concerns you more, that the indictment was politically motivated or that the documents were a national security risk? 76% said it concerns me more that the indictment was politically motivated. Again, likely GOP primary voters. 12% said it concerns them more that the documents were a national security risk. And then 12% said both. And I would be in that camp. I'd be like, that. Both of those things concern me. Like, was it a national security risk to have certain documents in his toilet room and Mar-a-Lago bathroom? I don't like how to call it toilet room. But also, I've said it before. I just don't I think there seems to be increasingly so two standards of justice in this country. I also don't think it's particularly good for the country. Now, I'm a law and order person. If you're proven innocent or you're proven guilty, then fine. Like, I don't think anyone is above the law, not even a former president, not a current president. But do I think that there is a different standard of justice for Republicans than Democrats? Yes, look at Hunter Biden. Come on. And so, again, I'm not trying to downplay what Trump is accused of, but I think that the justice system has to be fair and equal in order for it to be taken seriously. And I really question that at times. So the CBS poll also said of the indictment charges, again, likely GOP primary voters, how might the indictment charges change your view of Donald Trump? 14% said for the better. 14% said the indictment actually makes me think more highly of Donald Trump. 7% said for the worse. But here's the big one. 61% said doesn't change anything. And I think that that at this point is the expectation, right? Unless there's something like unfathomable, like horrible. And then 18% said depends. And then the poll also looked at the current lineup in terms of the GOP presidential hopefuls. It said, who would you vote for if the 2024 Republican nomination were today? Again, among likely GOP primary voters, Trump actually got a boost post-indictment. 61% said Trump. 23% said DeSantis, Tim Scott got 4%, Mike Pence 4%, Nikki Haley 3%. So whenever
you didn't talk to people in Florida. I feel like this is very skewed. I don't know.
I think DeSantis has got to be a little bit higher, right?
I believe that too.
But even DeSantis had to come to Trump's defense. And, you know, because I think it's important, I guess, for the GOP base, for them to not act as if they're abandoning him, especially for DeSantis, who I think DeSantis voters align a little more closely with Donald Trump supporters than like a Nikki Haley. I don't think like a Nikki Haley or Mike Pence lose very much if they come out forcefully against the former president. So anyway, I thought all of that was interesting. Also thought it was interesting that O.J. Simpson was on Twitter offering Trump legal advice. Here's what he had to say.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly here. Well, scrolling TV today, some things jump right out. One is the Donald waving what is supposedly secret documents and even admitting that they weren't declassified. I don't know if it was bluster or not. All I know is that cannot help him. I'm going to share some advice that I got from some of the greatest legal minds of our generation, of my lifetime, F. Lee Bailey, Alan Dershowitz, Johnny Cochran, Bob Shapiro, the great Barry Scheck and Peter Neufeld, Malcolm Laverne here in Vegas. The one thing they all told me and stressed to me, do not talk about the case publicly.
Probably good advice. And like I was saying earlier, if there's one person I would take legal advice from, it would probably be O.J. Simpson. So for what it's worth, although I don't think Donald Trump has the capacity to not talk about it or to not talk about really anything for that matter. Okay, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. I've been talking about my wonderful results on the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic program under Dr. Ryan Coogan. I have lost more than 30 pounds on the program, lost most of that in 2 months, which is why I've been really hitting it hard in the last couple months, because I'm like, man, if you want to get in better shape before summer, you really do have time still. And so if you want to, the easiest way to go about it to see if the program's right for you is to go to EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, and you can just schedule a free 15-minute consultation online, and they'll just talk to you about the program. You know, no prepackaged meals, no counting calories, no strenuous workout routine, no weird hypnosis, which is apparently a thing. I'd be curious how that would go, though. Weight loss, hypnosis. Have you heard of that, Nicole? Anyway, there's none of that. No surgery or anything like that. So you can do a 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan. And then if you like what you hear, you can be on your way to just feeling and looking better before summer. You don't have to look back at photos from the summer and be like, oh, I wish I had done more to get back in shape. I'm going to feel great in photos this summer. I'm going to be on the beach in June with my friends for my bachelorette party. Just feeling great about myself. Anyway, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. Okay, let's get to some comments, shall we? How are you feeling, Nicole?
I'm doing good. All right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. A lot of comments about the nude woman spa being forced to allow biological men in the spa because some activists wanted to make a political point and so ended up, you know, filing a complaint, even though they might have never even gone there. Jennifer said, I'm nowhere near a prude, but random men seeing me naked in a non-sexual way makes me highly uncomfortable. Exactly. And Susie, I saw this comment come in, and I thought, exactly. That's exactly what I meant to say, and just I couldn't find the words. Susie said, I have no issues with trans people, but I'm sick to death of being told that my comfort level is of no relevance. Exactly. And that's what I mean about the spas. You're so worried about the comfort level of the transgender individual. What about, and that seems to trump every single time, the comfort level of everyone else, whether it's the story about the prison system and female inmates just having to accept that they're going to have a biological male as a cellmate because of that person's comfort, but not their comfort. That's not fair. Just on any level, common sense level, that's not fair. And so, Susie, I can't agree more. And it's like, yeah, what about my comfort if I want to go into a spa and I want to just free willy it, you know? I guess it's not free willy. That would be more like a man. I just want to go free. And then I go in and there's, you know, a free willy in there. And I'd be like, this is not what I signed up for. And I'm not a prude either. But I also, as an engaged woman, I don't think Mike would want me in a spa with nude dudes. He just wouldn't. So I wouldn't go to this spa. And I feel bad because it's not their fault. I feel like I'm very angry today. I'm angry.
Like everything's become so sexualized. Like we're trying to mainstream this from, you know, fourth grade, like we talked about last week, right, to, you know, not having gender separation in a spa where, I mean, it's just, why can't we have a little separation there and kind of protect ourselves?
Well, gosh, if they're going to make women go into naked spas with men, then maybe we do need to show fourth graders pictures of willies in class so they cannot be so freaked out by them when they grow up.
No.
I'm just kidding. Of course not. It doesn't make any sense, but I think I get so frustrated about it because there is, I find myself asking, like, who actually believes this is right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be a really small group of people. But even within that, like the judge and stuff, I have to believe that there's a lot of people who just fall in line with it because they are scared of being labeled or being attacked for, like this judge, for ruling a certain way.
Right.
So I think there's probably a very, very minuscule part of the population that's actually like, this makes sense. And then there's like a little bigger part that's like, this doesn't make sense, but I don't want to say so. And then there's a bunch of reasonable people who are like, I'm just going to shut up. And then there's like us and a few conservative outlets who are like, no, I'm going to be outraged by it.
I know. It's really scary. I don't know how, I mean, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but the Bud Light thing, I think people are just looking for these little things to say, like, no, enough is enough. And it'll continue, like the Target thing and the, you know, just push back to all those. I think that's all only voice we feel like we have, right? Yeah. And so these businesses like Target are taking the brunt of that.
Yeah, just finding any pushback. Way. I mean, a way to actually make change is to hurt people's pocketbook.
Right.
Or to hurt people's ability to be reelected, you know, if that's actually done in a substantial way.
Right.
So, you can only
this
do
is
that.
Frustrating because there's not a lot of room to push back.
Right.
Like,
what are you going to show up?
Against a judge or, it's hard to push back.
Well, and as a business owner, the spa owner could be like, well, I'm not going to do it. And then what? They get put out of business?
Right.
So what option are you giving someone to give up their livelihood and how they feed their family? That's not much of an option at all. Okay. Lieutenant Dan says the spa owner should sue this activist for causing direct damages to their business. I imagine there would be many who would back them up against this bad faith actor. I would donate. I would donate too. Kyle said the interview with Linda was incredible. I'm wondering if when one of those incarcerated women will be able to make a claim to cruel and unusual punishment. The Washington Department of Corrections seems so corrupt. And again, who are we to know if they're corrupt? They won't even give us any documents related to what's going on. Deborah said, they don't care how it affects biological women. We will never fully be equal because now men are stealing the female space is made for us. On our meet and greet in Arlington, Thomas says, any events planned for the South Sound or Tacoma? We're working on it. We've gotten some emails with people offering us, you know, spaces because we have to find a business that will host us. And so we got all those emails. Thank you for sending them. And we're just going to decide kind of what makes the most logistical sense where we can get the most possible people to come. So stay tuned. We'll be announcing more locations soon. Charles said on Patreon, absolutely want to make some of these, but literally just got off the phone with my sister locking down Father's Day plans. Next one, hopefully you put that in there. You're such a smart ass. Nicole has an obsession with being right. And if things aren't her idea, she's like, they suck.
Not true. It's just that once in a while, if I bring up a point, it's so rare that I disagree that it gets focused on.
So she picks the one comment that's like, I can't come because it's Father's Day. Such an ass. You're such an ass.
It's just perfect.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Charles.
I shouldn't have read it. I started to read it, and I got too far in. He's such a smart ass. You're banned. I'm going to do the comments during the show.
Okay. Somehow. Okay, go for it.
Kelly on Molly Moon's ice cream. Molly Moon hates the police and is now whining about them not protecting their business. Hypocrisy at its finest. Couldn't agree more. Great comments, as always. Okay, let's get to our closing sanity check for the day, shall we? All right, we were just talking about pushing back against unreasonableness and how people can make a difference and what they can do and kind of, you know, letting the free market really dictate what's going to stand and what's not going to stand. Garth Brooks found himself in the middle of this Bud Light controversy, and I thought it was a little silly and contrived to go after Garth Brooks because he is, and Nicole, you can hop in here too, because this is Garth Brooks is, and Nicole loves him, so she's like, I'm going to stand up for Garth Brooks today. So he's got a bar he's opening in Nashville, which I want to go to Nashville so bad. I haven't been.
This bar has been under construction since I was there a year ago.
He's making it right.
It looked close to opening when I was there a year ago, so yeah. I hope it opens soon.
Yeah, so he says that he's going to serve Bud Light at it.
Yep.
And people are just losing it. And to me, again, we go back to a free market decision. And what he says basically is, yes, we're going to serve every brand of beer. Mm-hmm. If you come into this house, love one another. If you're an a-hole, there are plenty of other places on Lower Broadway. So he says that, and people take it to mean that he's calling everyone who doesn't want him to have Bud Light or is boycotting Bud Light an a-hole. And that's not what he meant. He's just basically like, hey, come here if you want to. Don't if you don't want to, but don't come here and be an a-hole because we're serving Bud Light.
Right.
Which is his right. Again, if you're into free market and making decisions and saying, hey, I'm boycotting this, we've talked about the definition of cancel culture. Right. Cancel culture to me means that you're not going to drink Bud Light because you don't like that they had Dylan Mulvaney as a spokesperson. And then you're going to go and pour out Bud Light at every single store because you don't want anyone else to drink it either. No, that's cancel culture.
Right.
Just making a stand as a human being means that you have a choice. You can decide, I'm not going to buy Bud Light. I'm not going to order Bud Light at a restaurant. I'm not going to go to Garth Brooks' bar because he has Bud Light on tap. That's your decision. Right. And I think what he's just saying is, that's okay, but let me make a decision for my bar. And don't come here and be an a-hole just because you don't like the decision I made for my bar.
Yeah, you said it exactly how I took it. And yeah. I got a little frustrated with everybody wanting to boycott Garth Brooks because he's saying, hey, up to you, come or don't come, just don't be an ass.
Right.
And I think that's perfectly reasonable. And
right.
And I don't want anybody to be an ass. Now, he says there's other bars that you can go to, blah, blah, blah. And I know he's implying that Kid Rock is being an ass, and he kind of was. So, I mean, it's fine. You could support what he's done, I guess, by shooting all the Bud Light cans and all that. But he kind of was being an ass. He knows it. It's fine. That's just his style. But you can support him or not support him. And you can support Garth and you can not support Garth. But I'm kind of on board with the don't be an ass.
Right.
You just fight back and find the most effective way of communicating your feelings, which is don't buy and maybe, you know, find some other way to tell people. But I don't know that, you know.
Because that's the sane way to push back, but it's also effective. Like, being an ass would be going to a Target and tearing down the Pride section.
Right.
Because you don't want to buy anything Pride for you or your kids, and so nobody else can either. Like, that's
or screaming
being
at people,
ass.
Don't be here.
And
don't
honestly,
be here.
That's what the left would do.
Exactly.
That is what the left would do. If the left had a bar or something that they were against because they were serving a certain type of beer, they'd show up. They'd make it impossible for people to even go in that bar because they'd create a scene. They'd probably try to burn it down, break a window, or whatever it is. You can be effective in changing the trajectory of things without acting like that, without acting like the crazy activist. And so I think that's kind of what Garth Brooks is saying too. Like, hey, we can make a difference, but we can also do it in a sane way.
Right. And I kind of blame the media on this. I mean, I pulled a local news thing for Nashville, but everybody quoted the a-hole part of it and that is going to serve Bud Light.
Out of context. Because they want to make a point. They want to be like, Garth Brooks isn't freaking out over Bud Light.
Right.
When he's really just like, I'm just running a bar.
Hey, please don't be an ass.
Yeah. Just a sane reaction. Okay. That's been it. Oh, right on time. Woo! Wow. That's been it for today's episode of Undivided. A reminder again, the first meet and greet we're going to have for you to have an opportunity to sign Referendum 101 is coming up on Sunday, Father's Day. But again, what better thing to do on Father's Day than to reclaim your rights as a parent? Nicole's looking at me like, I have things to do. That's fine. But join us, Elemental Cider Company in Arlington. I have this information posted across all my social media pages, Patreon, Locals, Sunday, June 18th, 2 to 4 p.m. I also do want to note, though, we'll announce some other locations. You don't have to come to a meet and greet with me to sign Referendum 101.
And you don't have to come to all of the meet and greets.
No, we're just giving you an opportunity to say hello, because that would be fun for us to see some of you. But also to give you a convenient location that's hopefully close-ish to you where you can come and sign Referendum 101. But please don't feel like that's the only place you can sign it. You can go to reject5599.com, reject5599.com. They have a map on there with locations where you could go sign it today if you just want to get it out of the way. So don't wait for this, but I would love to see you guys there. So please show up, and we'll be teasing that every day this week. All right, that's been it for today's episode. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. A special thank you to Undivided subscribers. We could not do this show without you. If you'd like to sign up, you can go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, and find out how you can support the show for as little as $5 a month. See you tomorrow.